In the name of God who redeems our fears. Amen. Who then is this that can calm the water and the sea? This calming of the sea happens early in Jesus' ministry. He has left Nazareth, his hometown. He has gone to Capernaum. He's made that his new town. He's called the 12 disciples and given them the task of proclaiming the gospel and casting out demons. He's healed, he's taught, but he has yet to venture away from his home. Instead, the crowds had been coming to him, and they would come to the shore near Capernaum as he taught and healed. And on that day, we are told that Jesus had been at the shore preaching in parables. The kingdom of God is like. We heard some of these last week. The kingdom of God is like a seed that was planted and forgotten about. The kingdom of God was like a mustard seed, he would tell them. And at the end of this very long day, he said to the apostles, "Let us go across the sea." Now, that seems like a throwaway line, but really, this is no small thing. This is a real turning point in Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Mark. For the first time, he is taking his message, his healing, his teaching outside of Galilee, outside of his Jewish audience. And he's taken the disciples with him. He's drawing them from their familiar territory of Capernaum, and they're going across to the strange and foreign land of the Gerasenes. The land of the Gerasenes, although it's not far, you can see from one shore to the other. It's a land of Gentiles. These aren't Israelites. These aren't their people, so to say. And so they head out, and Jesus goes to sleep. And as he sleeps, a great windstorm comes up and water is coming into the boat. And you can see and hear the disciples, and they get paralyzed in their fear. And so they wake Jesus up and they say, "Don't you care that we're dying? You got to save us." So he wakes up and he rebukes the sea and he calms it. And the disciples, they don't celebrate. It's almost as though their fear hasn't quite been subsided. Instead, they say to each other, "Who is this man?" And I have to tell you, their fear perplexes me. Because I think that the assumption is that they are scared of this great windstorm that comes up on the sea. But these are fishermen. Jesus literally calls them out of their boat. We're told they drop their nets to follow him. Surely they've been in a windstorm such as this. And the calm sea didn't seem to have any effect on their worry and suspicion, which makes me think that their fear of death was tied more to their confusion of who is this man. The disciples, I suspect, are realizing that they have hitched their wagon to this guy, Jesus. A guy that demons and unclean spirits are calling Son of Man, Son of God. And a man who's preaching that he's bringing a kingdom here and now. I mean, this was dangerous speech in Jesus' day. The Roman Empress Tiberius, whose government ruled the Palestine of Jesus, he was known as the Son of God. To take that title and to proclaim a kingdom over and against the government, the emperor, that was dangerous. It was seditious. That's how you got arrested and got killed. And I suspect that the disciples on this boat were thinking, well, his message is okay here in Capernaum. It's okay here in Galilee, where we are expecting a Messiah to restore Israel. But taking it over there to those people, the Gentiles, Not only are they going to make us unclean, they're not like us, but there's a lot of Roman authorities over there. And if they hear that, this puts us in danger. And you can almost hear and taste and see these disciples coming to the realization that life with Jesus is going to upend and upset and rearrange and take apart the safety of what they had known. And at this point, they don't know the outcome. We know the outcome, but they don't. And so they're left with the decision, how do we respond to our fear? Who is this man? Will we trust him enough to follow, to allow him to lead us and guide us to the other side? Fear changes us one way or another. When we're afraid, we can get controlling, we can get blaming, we can get suspicious, we can get legalistic, we can get bitter, we can get mean. And that kind of response to fear changes us. It isolates us from each other. And that isolation makes hatred and violence easier tactics when we disagree with each other or when someone is different from us. We see this playing out in our world and in our nation today. Daily, we see hatred driven out of our fear, translated into violence, and sometimes death all over the world. But also on a much smaller scale, if we're really honest, we can see that happens even in our own families sometimes. Lest we forget that our controlling and our blaming and our suspiciousness born out of our fear, that can rip our own families apart. I was in this clergy colleague group this week, and someone said, you know, we're so afraid in our society right now that we can't detach from our fear and think rationally. And he said, I want to say to people, would you quit panicking? Because we're all going to die. You know, we can sit around and think about all the possibilities of ruin and destruction that come our way. Or we can acknowledge that ruin and destruction will come our way, knowing that the good news is that it will not be the end. We're Easter people. Unlike the disciples, we know the rest of the story. We know resurrection happens. So when fear comes, we can detach from it and we can look at it rationally and know that Jesus is in the boat with us. We can know that the kingdom of God is here and now. Quit panicking, he said. We all die in the promise of resurrection. Live into the joy of the kingdom here and now. And I had to laugh at this. Because the realization that I was going to die is how I came to God. And I've talked about this before. I've never preached about it. But my grandfather was career military. And they were posted in Morocco in the 60s. And one evening, right before Christmas, someone broke into their home and shot and killed him in front of my mother and my uncle and my grandmother. And so I grew up in this family of victims of a very violent crime and people who lived in fear. And so I knew this as a small child, and I was convinced that this was likely going to happen to me some night. And I had a really hard time sleeping. I also have to tell you, there was a graveyard across the street from our house. And I thought that the ghosts were going to get me. And I finally told my dad that. And he said, well, they're all related to you, so they're probably not going to hurt you, you know. And that actually worked. But each night I would lay in my bed and I would pray these rote prayers. And at the end I would say, God, please just don't let tonight be the night that something bad happens. And I can remember being about 12 years old, and I had this realization one night after I prayed, and I started talking to God. I never really thought that I could talk to God. And I said, well, God, I can't live like this anymore. I didn't say it's eating me alive, but it was eating me alive. I can't live with this fear anymore. I realize that I'm gonna die. I don't know how or when anymore, but you gotta take this fear away from me. And that's not an easy thing to acknowledge, to know that you're gonna die. But I have to tell you, in that moment, the weight of the world lifted off of me. And I can still feel it right now. I have a full chill knowing the weight of the world that lifted off of me that night. And not only did I let go of the fear of my own death, my suspicion and my distrust of the other started to evaporate. You see, secretly, when I would be out with my family, I would think that person could hurt us, you know. They look kind of weird. They're driving a van, you know. That went away with this relinquishment of my fear. And my prejudice of the other started to be redeemed. And looking back, I realized that was grace. It was positive energy that comes out of nowhere. That's grace. And that encounter with God, that changes us in our fear. Was grace that helped me make room for the discomfort of acknowledging death. It was grace that took my discomfort and redeemed it into the joy of the gift of life. It was grace that taught me how to fear. You know, like those disciples setting off to the other side, to the storms of the sea, we have a choice. Will we make room for the encounter of God through grace to change us, to redeem us in our fear, or not? For if we aren't willing to be discomforted, upset, rearranged, and taken apart, then how willing are we to be redeemed? Amen.